Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
This program is made possible thanks to the generosity of our listeners. Show your support at heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
This week on Meat and Three, we're talking about comfort food as we explore its history, meaning, and different interpretations from around the world.
Donburi is just a simple, casual dish, but it's packed with the history.
Somebody might have their comfort food be something that they remember eating at their friend's house, but they would never have at their own home. Consuming foods that were eaten then can bring back some of those feelings from those times.
It's about creating these little breaks and moments during the day where you kind of feel present.
Tune in to Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, food writer and director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deep understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every day in the supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is so mystery for many people, and I will try to demystify it in this program with my co-guests. My guest today is Kanariya Eiraku, who is a rakugoka, or a traditional Japanese comic storyteller. Rakugo is a unique form of entertainment that became popular in Japan in the 17th century during the Edo period. A storyteller sits on the stage alone, only with a folding fan and a hand towel. These are the only props used during the performance, but once the rakugoka starts talking, you are in another world. The rakugoka quickly draws you into the story, and you would feel as if you are sitting right next to the characters. And there is always a surprise punchline at the end. So that is why rakugo has been very popular for centuries, and rakugo is becoming global lately, and there are even non-Japanese rakugoka like Katsura Sunshine who joined us on episode 102. And Eiraku-san is one of the rakugo ambassadors who inspired the world with the power of Japanese style, yet universal humor in English. So today, we'll discuss what exactly rakugo is, how Eiraku-san got into rakugo, why rakugo is so unique and powerful, and much, much more. And of course, Eiraku-san will perform rakugo for us too. Before we start, Japan Eats is available on the Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So if you haven't, please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify and subscribe to Japan Eats. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. Now let's start a conversation with Kanariya Eiraku. Hello, Eiraku-san. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So, and thank you so much for staying up so late. It's 12 a.m. So thank you so much for that. All right, so we have a lot to discuss. So first of all, let's talk about who you are. So what is your background?
I'm now a lecturer at the Kanda University of International Studies and also at Komazawa University. And I'm an English rakugo performer, so I'm wearing two hats.
That's amazing. So you teach English and you teach rakugo.
and
Yes, I teach classes performance in English.
I'm teaching performance. We'll talk about that later so that our listeners can join you maybe one day or sometime soon online. So let's talk about Rakugo. So what is Rakugo and how is it culturally important?
Rakugo is a solo storytelling with a touch of humor. Yeah, as you said, that the story usually ends with a punchline. And it's a kind of miniature theater based on kabuki. There are some rules when we perform Rakugo, and all the rules come from kabuki. So I think it is quite important. Theatrical tradition is succeeded in Rakugo.
Interesting. Mm. So for listeners who are not familiar with kabuki, what is kabuki?
Kabuki is really traditional theater, which dates back to about, 400 years ago. It's a very traditional one. And we have the rules of what we call kamite and shimote. Kamite is a stage. Kamite is stage left, and shimote is stage right. So kamite means upper side, and shimote is downside. So, for example, when person of a lower position is talking to a person who is of a higher position, a person of a lower position should stay on shimote or the stage right, and the person who is of a higher position should stay on kamite or stage left. That is a quite important rule, and that rule is passed on to Rakugo.
So the kabuki is a more kind of more formal theater act, but it's kind of funny stories they always perform, right? But it's more
there are some types of the stories what we call jidai mono. It is the story about history, and there are stories of common people called sewa mono. There are some types of stories in kabuki.
Right, interesting. So because when we think of Japanese traditional theaters, no is very kind of art focused and more kind of ambience, and kabuki is more, like you said, you know, story of our lives. And then what's really important, what Rakugo is fascinating, is that you don't have any big theater setting. And my father used to watch it. He was just watching TV on Rakugo, you know, often playing on TV, and then I don't have any intention to see it, but once I look at it, I can't stop. I just sit next to him and start watching it because it's so kind of absorbing. So maybe you can talk more about, you know, what is unique about Rakugo compared to other genres of entertainment?
Rakugo, we kneel down. It's a solo performance, and we kneel down on a square cushion called zabuton. And that's quite unique. There are some similar types of narrative arts like kodan. And kodanshi or kodan performer also kneel down on zabuton or cushion. And they focus on the stories about the heroes and heroines of history, while rakugo focus on the lives of common people. So that is a different point. And also we have rokyoku. Rokyoku is a story with music. So the stories are also are always accompanied by a shamisen player. So that is a different point. So these three are kodan, rakugo, and rokyoku are very traditional style narrative arts, I think.
Right. So kind of rokyoku is almost solo performance, but with kind of like a musical.
Accompanied by shamisen player. Yeah, shamisen. Right. And in case, rokyokushi or rokyoku performers stand with a table in front of them when they perform. Mm. Yeah, but kodan performers and rakugo performers kneel down on a cushion.
Right. So by the image of rakugo performers, to me, maybe it's easier to understand, like, it's like a stand-up comedian, but it's not standing, but it's sitting on a zabuto mat. And it's the power of one person, right?
Right. Yeah, and I think it's quite different from stand-up comedians. Because rakugo is a kind of, you know, storytelling. It's not only jokes, but there are some jokes, but it's basically a storytelling. So that's quite different from stand-up comedy.
Right. So the real story really is, it's like the program The Moth, which is popular on the radio, but it's probably like people started to talk about what happened to someone else. And then it was so funny that people started to talk more and more, that kind of thing. That how I imagine it started. Right. So, all right. So, so how did you get into rakugo, and how did you study it?
I joined the rakugo Tatekawa Ryu in 1984. It's quite a long time ago. My mentor is Tatekawa Danshi, and he died about 9 years ago. He left the Association of Rakugo in 1983 because he had some trouble with the association, and he founded his own school or his own group called Rakugo Tatekawa Ryu in 1983, and I joined the group the next year, and I stayed there for several years. So that's how I entered the world of rakugo. So I learned what rakugo is from Tatekawa Danshi. And I studied Japanese rakugo classes in 1991, and I hired some professional rakugo performers to teach the classes. So I also learned rakugo from those teachers, from professional rakugo performers.
So when you grew up, you are always watching rakugo performances?
Yeah, I liked rakugo, yes. But I was not born in Tokyo. I was born in Aichi. So there was no yose or yasumin's rakugo comedy houses. So I was only, I enjoyed rakugo on TV.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so it's interesting. There are so many schools of rakugo performers. It's a serious, the genre of entertainment. So the listeners, it's really, it's just very traditional in good way. So why did you decide to perform rakugo in English?
I've always liked learning English, and I loved listening to rakugo since I was a child. So for me, performing rakugo in English was it's a quite natural result.
Right. Well, I really respect. It's not an easy thing. And then you visited many foreign countries and performed rakugo for local audience.
Yeah, and yes.
Of course in English. So where have you been, and so far, and what were the reactions of non-Japanese audiences to your performance?
So far, I have performed in 8 countries. I performed in the United States, of course, US, UK, and New Zealand, Australia, and Laos, and Kazakhstan, and Georgia. Georgia as a country, not as a state of the United States. So I performed in those countries. In the United States, California, I mean, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Jose, Seattle, and Phoenix, Arizona, and Houston, Texas, and New York. I performed in New York in 2017, 3 years ago.
I heard you performed at Metropolitan Opera at Lincoln Center in New York. That's a huge honor to perform there. So did you have a relationships with the local, some organizations? So who hosted all those, tours and performances?
You mean who the organizers, you mean? Who the host,
yeah.
You mean?
Right, because you went to very unusual countries and then you just don't go and then do it, right? So
right, yeah, sure, sure, yeah. Yes, yeah, there are, of course, some organizers in each country. In the States, one or two organizers who helped us and who promoted our performances, of course, yes.
Mm. So did you offer first or they invited you to?
Usually they invite us, yes. Usually they invite us.
Interesting.
And so, the audience is quite responsive compared with the audience in Japan. You know, the audiences in the United States particularly, I think, are very responsive. I still remember when I performed in Sedona in Arizona. We performed at a theater in Sedona, and the audience was really, really responsive. You know, the Japanese audience is not, you know, it's rather quiet compared with the audience in the United States.
Right. Wow. Mm. So they loved it. Well, they laughed.
Yes, they loved the story, right. Yes.
Mm. I'm curious, they laugh at the same time universally? Wow.
I think so, yes. Yeah. Basically, they laughed at the same points, same jokes.
Right. Okay. All right. So, and then you... Yeah, I'm just curious. So you're Kazakhstan and Georgia. So who are they? Are the audience just curious? The general public or?
Yeah, general public, yes. Georgians in Georgia and people in Kazakhstan. In Kazakhstan, their local people came to a theater or came to the university. We performed at several universities. So college students were listening to our performances.
Mm, wow, that's amazing. All right. So we have a lot to talk about. So now let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, Eric-san will perform Rakugo for us. So please stay with us.
All of us at HRN have been keeping busy despite working and recording from home. This fall, we're proud to announce new shows on the network that each bring important and enlightening stories to listeners around the world. While the world is in turmoil and the future of our country is uncertain, there are certain constants that help keep us going. For us, food and storytelling are essential. While we can't come together in person, food podcasts from HRN can provide a virtual table we can all gather around. Bringing exceptional stories to your ears and keeping you informed on the ever-changing political and environmental issues of our time is integral to our mission. At a time when the world around us is rapidly changing, HRN is committed to being here for our listening community, and we need you to be here for us. Join our table and help ensure the future of food radio by becoming a member of HRN. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate to make a contribution. Check out the latest additions to our lineup while you're there. You can see all of our series at heritageradionetwork.org/new-shows.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japanese. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, and my guest today is Kanariya Eiraku, who is a rakugoka, or traditional Japanese comic storyteller. So humor is very hard to share between different languages and cultures. So what is the key to communicating humor to a non-Japanese audience?
I think there are local humor and universal humor. And I think it is quite difficult to, local humor is, I think, quite difficult for the local people to understand. I mean, for example, we have, when I say local humor, I mean puns or play on words. And in Japanese, we have a lot of words which have a double meaning. And those humors are quite difficult for foreign people to understand. But what we have a universal humor, you know, that's when the story itself is funny, I think everyone can laugh at those humor. Yeah, that's how it feels. Well, so for example, I think in English too, there are lots of humor which are based on puns or what plays on words. For example, there's a short joke like hijack. It goes like this. I was arrested at the airport. What did you do? I just called my friend. What's his name? Jack. And what did you say? Hi, Jack. Those are, you know, it's really difficult to translate into other languages, right?
Yeah. Right.
So there are lots of humors like this, and this is what I call local humor. Yeah. Mm. But the story itself is interesting. You know, it's funny. I think it's understandable in any languages. For example, there is a short joke called Test Score. It's a conversation between son and his father. The father said, oh, look at all these bills. Everything is going up. You know, a doctor or doctor bills, gas, water, electricity. I'm glad if just one thing would go down. Dad, look at my test score. So this kind of, you know, jokes are universal, right? Everyone in every country can understand.
Right. And it's the situation shared by many families too. And the subject of rakugo can be anything, right? Any parts, any aspects of your life. So because this is Japanese, I want to talk about some food aspects. So maybe you can talk about some stories about food.
Food, yes. I'd like to start with some sweets. In rakugo, sweets like manju and yokan sometimes appear in the story. Manju is a dumpling with the sweet red beans inside, and its shape is round. And yokan is square, and yokan is a sweet jelly made of red beans or azuki. So red beans or azuki is often used for Japanese sweets. And there is a very popular rakugo story called Manju Koai, or Scary Manju. And I'm going to tell this story later. And in a story called Hatsutenjin, or New Year Visit to the Shrine, son asks his father to buy dango and ame. Dango is skewered dumplings, and ame is candy. So those sweets appear in rakugo stories.
Mm, right. Mm. Okay. And so maybe you can tell us the manju koi, scary manju.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hamburger scare. Right. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So the story is based on manju koi or scary manju, but nobody knows what manju is in foreign countries. So I changed manju to hamburgers. So hamburger, because everybody in every country knows what manju is. So scary hamburgers. And all the characters in the story are English-speaking people. I mean Americans. So it's based on a traditional story, but I changed manju to hamburgers.
All right, universal. This is a performance. I'm going to mute myself. It's going to be around 10 minutes, and I guarantee you're going to have a nice laugh, very big laugh at the end. So please begin.
Okay, yes. Thank you for coming, everybody. Oh, don't sit so close to each other. Yeah, keep a social distance. Is everybody here? Oh, yes, except one person. Oh, who is not here? Long. Oh, Long is not here. Oh, it's much more fun with him. But anyway, let's begin the party. Sorry to be late. Oh, Long, what's the matter? You look pale and you are panting. Have you been chased? No, I saw a snake. You know, I'm afraid of snakes. I'm afraid of eels, earthworms, anything that is long. But your name is Long. Yes, so my name scares me. Oh, your name scares you, that's too bad. But they say anybody has one or two weaknesses. Abe, is there anything that you're afraid of? Me? I'm afraid of frogs. Frogs? Why? Because they open their mouths wide. I'm afraid they will swallow me up. Ah, I see. I don't like them either. Ben, how about you? I'm afraid of spiders. I'm afraid of anything that produces threads. Even a sewing machine scares me. Even a sewing machine scares you? Oh, that's too bad. Carlos, how about you? I'm scared of centipedes. Centipedes? Why? Because they have so many legs, and when I think about how many shoes they need, that scares me. What? Are you concerned about their shoes? Oh, you're a strange guy. And David, how about you? Well, I'm afraid of ants because they march in line, and when they meet each other, they are whispering something. I'm afraid they are speaking ill of me. Are you concerned about the conversation? Oh, you are also a strange guy. And Elvis, how about you? I'm afraid of horses because they kick you. Ever since I got married, I've been kicked by my wife. Now I have a strong fear of horses. No, you're not afraid of horses. You are afraid of your wife. And Henry, how about you? What, why are you shrugging? Nothing. But you don't have to put on airs like that. We are having fun. Why don't you join us? Why do we have to talk about something that scares us? We are men. Oh, yes, of course, but isn't there anything that you're afraid of? How about snakes? Oh, snakes, I eat them. I eat them more often than eels. Yeah? And when I have a fever, I coil them around my head. It makes me feel comfortable. Oh, really? How about frogs? Ah, frogs are my favorite. And ants? I sometimes eat them with rice, you know, as a kind of seasoning. And spiders, I put their threads into natto, fermented soybeans, when the beans are not sticky enough. And horses, I like to eat their meat raw. It gives me a lot of energy. Is that right? So you eat everything, huh? But still, there may be one or two things that may scare you. Hey, don't keep asking me. Actually, I'm trying to forget it. Oh, so you're afraid of something, huh? What is it? Please tell us. If I tell it to you, you will laugh. No, we won't laugh. What is it, huh? It's not a state secret, is it? Don't be bashful. I'm afraid of... And now you will laugh. No, I said I won't. What is it? It's not shameful at all. Please tell us. Well, I'm afraid of hamsters. No, not hamsters. Hamburgers. I beg your pardon? Hamburgers. Hamburgers? What kind of animals are they? No, they're not animals. I mean, hamburgers you can get at McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, Shake Shack, In-N-Out, Five Guys, Sonic. You mean those hamburgers? Hey, don't laugh. I'm sorry. So you're afraid of hamburgers, huh? I love hamburgers. My favorite is a chicken sandwich. Oh, don't talk about chicken sandwiches. I'm afraid of chicken sandwiches most. Oh, you're afraid of chicken sandwiches most. So you really are chicken. Hey, don't call me chicken. It's a bad joke. Oh, I'm sorry. I also like double cheeseburgers. Oh, don't talk about double cheeseburgers. That's twice as scary. Is that right? When I'm really hungry, I even try a triple burger. Oh, don't talk about triple burgers. That is three times as scary. Is that right? Last week, I went to Sasebo, and I tried some Sasebo burgers there. I'm sure their hamburgers are the best in the world. Don't talk about Sasebo burgers. I went to Sasebo on business last month, and when I saw Sasebo burger stands lining the street, I fainted. Did you? Yes, I'm ashamed of myself, but I did. Oh, I'm getting dizzy, probably because I remember Sasebo. Can I go to the next room and take a rest for a while? Oh, sure. Go ahead. Did you hear that, everybody? Huh? Henry is afraid of hamburgers. I have a good idea. Let's buy dozens of hamburgers and put them around his head. And let's get him for his daily arrogance. Ah, yes, that's a good idea. Let's scare him with hamburgers. All right, then. I'll give you some money. So go and get as many hamburgers as possible with this money, okay? Oh, yes. We are back. Oh, you bought so many hamburgers. Please put them here. So, this is fish burger, and egg burger, shrimp burger, and chicken sandwich. Oh, I'm sure this scares him most. Big Mac, Whopper, ramen burger. What's this? What? The buns are made of ramen noodles. Oh, I've never tried this before. And Sasebo Jumbo. Oh, where did you get this? In Yoyogi. Oh, you can get this in Yoyogi. I didn't know that. Okay, it's a good, great collection. Why don't you put them on a tray and bring them to his bed? Oh, yes. Okay, so let me open the door. Oh, he is sleeping so well. All right. And let me close the door. Now, shall we wake him up? Oh, yes. Henry, how do you feel? I had a bad dream. I was surrounded by hamburgers in my dream. Did you hear that? He was surrounded by hamburgers in his dream. He doesn't know his dream is coming true. Henry, why don't you wake up? Wake up, Henry. Oh, yes. Yes. Hamburgers! Who brought all these hamburgers? Are you going to kill me? Hey, please help. Help me. Help me. Help me. Help me. I'm scared. Help me. Fish burger. Good fish. On this tartar sauce perfectly matches this fish. Help me. I'm scared. Oh, this is chicken sandwich. This is actually my favorite. Good. Oh, good chicken. This chicken is even better than Kentucky Fried Chicken. Help me. I'm scared. What's this? Ramen burger? What? The buns are made of ramen noodles. I've never tried this. I'll eat this later. I put this into my bag. And Big Mac. Okay, I'll eat this later. And Whopper later. And this is Sasebo Jumbo. Where did they get this? It's yummy. This steak is really thick and it's juicy. And this gravy sauce is excellent. Help me. I'm scared. Hey, isn't it strange? He is screaming help, and I'm scared, but there's a pause in between them. And it sounds like he is munching something. Long, why don't you slightly open the door and peek in? Oh, yes. John? He's eating them. And he is putting some of them into the bag. He loves hamburgers. What? Hey, Henry, what are you doing? You are eating them. What is it that you are really afraid of? Now, I'm afraid of a glass of Coca-Cola. Thank you.
So he eats the Coca-Cola now. That is crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's too bad that your performance, you know, the acting part, hands and, you know, use of the fan and, you know, the handkerchief,
yeah,
that would be a big mm-hmm. part of it. And, yeah, maybe next time you can, I don't know, some like a video recording for us too. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, this is the first time for me to perform rakugo for radio listeners. So actually, I added some words to explain what's going on. Yeah, actually.
So this is a universal classic story. So this is the thing, how you do it, and then would you change the food and from hamburger to anything else depending on where you go? Like
I think hamburger is really popular in any country. So, and manchu is not known. So, unless in Japan, I think scary manchu is okay because foreign people living in Japan may know what manchu is. But when I perform in foreign countries, I change to hamburgers. For example, when I performed in Laos, Laotian people, Laotians also eat hamburgers. And I asked some Laotians what is the popular hamburgers in Laos. And they said that there is the hamburger called Sputnik. And Sputnik is quite popular. So I included that hamburger, the brand of Sputnik, into the story. Yeah, so that's how I change a little bit in each country. So, but basically, I tell hamburger, scary hamburgers.
Right. And it's what's impressive, another thing is that you perform multiple characters and you can tell even on the radio, and also when you eat hamburgers, it's as if you're really eating hamburgers. I got hungry too. So
that's a great compliment.
Yeah, and then, so let's talk about some other foods. So, for example, noodles are very important in Japanese cuisine. So maybe you can talk about that, right?
Right, yes. Yeah, one of the most popular local stories is called Tokisoba, or Time Noodles. And the Time Noodles in Kamigata, or western part of Japan, it's called Toki Udon. So the characters eat udon noodles. And in Tokyo, it was changed to soba because people in Tokyo prefer to eat soba noodles to udon noodles. So tokisoba, or time noodle, is quite popular. The story is about a man who goes to a soba noodle restaurant, and he cheats the noodle seller when he pays. Soba noodles was 16 mon in the Edo period. And when he paid all in small coins. And he said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Noodle seller, what time is it? It's 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. So that's how he cheated 1 mon. Yeah, so that's quite a popular story. Mm. And another guy was looking at it, and he tried to do the same thing the next day, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work well. So that is a kind of typical rakugo, the rakugo story. So tokisoba is quite popular Yeah, the noodles, the noodle. And when we eat noodles, we slurp, making sounds. So I think, slurping is quite impolite. It's considered impolite in foreign countries. So when I perform talk about a time noodle, I say that I slurp the noodles, but it's not considered rude in Japan. So they will understand.
Mm.
We eat noodles like this. Yeah, sometimes it bothers foreign people if they don't know it. See, because they consider making sound is quite impolite when eating.
Right. Yeah, it's funny that I sometimes people ask Japanese people why they slurp, and I think even scientifically, because when you slurp, the air brings up more flavor because of the nose smell and kind of like throat smell, like a retronasal smell, which comes from the food inside your mouth. And when you get the air, you get more flavor out in the air, and your nose can sense it.
That's very interesting.
So it's a very smart way to maximize the flavor experience. And that's what everybody should slurp, in my opinion. And, like sommeliers do when they drink water, they like, this kind of like weird sound, but that's the same idea. You get maximize the flavor experience.
I see. So, that's interesting.
Right. Anyways, so do you have any story that you can share with anything about other food?
Yeah, about the soba noodles. Yes, I have. I'd like to introduce a short story. Which was made by Henry Black or Kailak T. Black. Kailak T. Black was a British rakugo performer in the Meiji period. He was British. He was born in Adelaide, Australia, but he was British. And he was born in 1858, and he came to Japan when he was 6 years old because his father was working in Japan as a journalist. And he grew up, he became a rakugo performer. And he recorded one short story called Laughs at the Soba Noodle Restaurant. It's a short story, it goes like this. One day, it's a real story, that he experienced when he was in Asakusa. One day he was walking around Asakusa and he was starved, and he entered a soba noodle restaurant. He was really hungry, so he waved at the waitress and he ordered three tempura soba and four meat soba. And he was waiting and waiting, but his orders were never served. Other customers came in and finished eating and left the restaurant. So he thought that it was a racial discrimination. In the Meiji period, there are very few foreign people. So he thought that it was a racial discrimination. So he waved at the waitress again, and he complained, "What happened to my orders?" And she said that. He said, "Oh, I was waiting for your friends." She never thought he would eat them all. He got very embarrassed, and he ate them very quickly, and he left the restaurant. That's called... Yeah, laughs at soba noodle restaurant. I like this story.
Yeah, me too. Okay. So, by the way, I heard that there's some interesting story about, it's about the meat eating. So Japan banned eating meat from the 7th century until the end of the 19th century. However... Mm-hmm. I heard that people are eating meat secretly, and there are people's stories talking about the secrets. So maybe you can tell us about that.
Yeah, the meat was prohibited to eat because of Buddhism. I think the teaching of Buddhism forbade people to eat meat. But actually, in the Edo period, they were eating meat secretly. They called them medicine, and ate the meat secretly. And the government, I think the government also allowed people to eat meat, actually. So it was they were not supposed to eat meat, but they were eating meat secretly. For example, wild boar meat, or I think you don't have wild boar meat in the United States, inoshishi. It's like, it tastes like pig. It tastes like pork. So a pork and beef and the meat of deer and horse and wild boar, those meat were eaten by people in Edo secretly.
Right. Well, we have wild boar here too, but it's, I think it's Japanese wild boar looking more like wild, like real wild. Right. And so the wild boar is called mountain whale.
Yamakujira mountain whale. And deer meat was called sakura or cherry blossoms, like this. Yeah.
Right. The deer is momiji.
Deer is momiji, yes. And right. horse meat was called sakura or cherry blossom.
Right.
And
there's deer meat was called.
Yeah. It was kind of jargons, you know.
Right.
For, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. And, that's interesting story. This is very, tangential story. But how it ended, Japanese people ended this ban of eating meat, which started in the 17th century, was the Meiji Emperor, that was in 1871. The emperor, I forgot his name, but in the Meiji era, he ate beef officially then showed that it's okay to eat beef.
Mm-hmm.
And emperor at that time was everything, as the king and queen and, god, everything combined. So, and then people really kind of freaked out. So it was some people went to the emperor's residence and then tried to attack the emperor. That's how upsetting it was back then. So that's why people really hide the fact that they're eating meat, because they could be totally punished by eating meat that they're not allowed legally.
Mm.
So anyway, so you teach Rakugo in English.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is it only in Japan? Can our listeners learn Rakugo from you?
Yeah, I have some classes, and of course I have classes in Tokyo, but one of the classes is online, so anybody in the world can actually learn Rakugo from me. And I have about 10 students who are taking the online classes, because some of them live far from Tokyo, and some are, afraid of COVID, coronavirus, so they prefer to take online classes. So anybody in the world can take online classes now.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just like if we,
you contact me.
Right. And anything's, this is a podcast by itself is really recorded remotely, which was not possible before the COVID. So there's upside of COVID for sure. And so that's everybody can look up your site and then sign up for it.
Yeah, I think, yes. If they put my name, Kanaria Eraku, or English Rakugo, I think they can browse at my web page. Mm.
Okay, so Kanaria is Kanariya, and Eraku is Eiraku. So
that's
Kanaria,
right. Yes,
Eiraku.
And my email address is kanaria.eiraku@gmail.com, so they can email me if they want.
Mm. Right. So listeners, if you're interested, you have also videos in English, right? So I think Rakugo is very visual too. So I highly recommend listeners that you watch English Rakugo.
It's on YouTube. Yes. Yeah. They can watch my stories on YouTube too. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Kanaria, it's Kanariya, and Eiraku, Eiraku.
That's right. Oh, yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, who are your students in English? Are they Japanese people or non-Japanese people right now?
Yeah, mostly they are Japanese people. I've ever had a foreign student before, like from India, and I had a student from Britain. But mostly, they are Japanese, and they're from their they're from all walks of life. Some of them are housewives, some of them are salaried workers, some of them are retired people, some are students. So the youngest is, I think, 16 years old. He is a second grader of senior high school, and the oldest is 82. So there's a variety of people in my classes.
Wow, that's amazing how diverse your students are.
Yeah, from 17 to 82.
Right. So, so what are your plans? I mean, you know, this rakugo is universal, and what's your plans about the rakugo education?
Of course, I would like to perform in foreign countries. I would like to spread this wonderful culture. But now it's quite difficult because of COVID. But after the COVID, I'd like to resume touring the foreign countries. And I would like to perform at schools. And if children are interested in English through rakugo, that's great.
And the rakugo is just not just funny, but it's very interesting window to see the depths of Japanese culture from different paths, I think.
I think so, yes.
And when you perform, you wear a very cool classic outfit. So
yes.
How do you dress yourself when you perform?
Yeah, that's right. So we can learn about kimono, see. So we can learn not only rakugo stories, but also you can learn, you know, some other aspects of Japanese culture.
So I've kind of missed asking you this question. As your props, you only use hand towel and folding fans. So
yes.
What is that? I mean, how do they function, and why are they two items?
Rakugo is really minimal performance, and we use only two props. Particularly this folding fan is used in many ways. Like it's used as a wallet. Folding fan, yeah, and chopsticks and sword, daggers. I mean, in various ways. And the hand towel is used as a wallet or our books and so on. And a piece of the audience will imagine what's going on. I think the audience, the imagination is quite important when we perform rakugo stories.
The other part of visual excellence of the rakugo is that the way you look at, the direction you look at, really changes, almost like as if you're looking at a different person. So that's another big...
We just move our heads.
Right?
Yeah.
And you don't
change your voice. To act out many characters.
Right. So just, even it's the same voice, you look at different ways, I mean, different directions.
Yeah.
And also, you know...
Yes.
Right, and the punting, like you had when, you know, somebody came into the place and I'm scared of this. The punting and all those tones, and it's so rich. It's just amazing how simple act can change the whole imagination in your head. Okay, so do you plan to, I don't know, I mean, this COVID today, there's a good news about vaccine. So we may get a new vaccine sometime soon. Mm-hmm. But are you planning to, produce more YouTube episodes and make it more available?
I'd like to talk about my performances for the rest of the year. This month, I'm going to perform at perform and also hold a English rakugo seminar at the Kokugakuin University on 25th of this month. And it is online English rakugo seminar and performance. So, and anybody can join. So I think you can get this information on the internet. And the next month, I'm going to perform with a Swedish rakugo performer whose name is Sanyute Kosenen. He's from Sweden, and he's a professional rakugo performer, and he entered the rakugo world 4 years ago and started as zenza, or apprentice, of course, and he was promoted to what we call futatsume, the second level, which is considered to be a professional rakugo performer. And I'm going to have a rakugo event with him on December 26th for this year. And this is also going to be online, so you can enjoy online on Zoom. So I'd like to let the audience know about these two performances.
Right. So what's the best way to find information?
The best way is to go to my web page. It's Eigo Rakugo, Eigo, E-I-G-O, Rakugo, R-A-K-U-G-O dot Wix site, W-I-X-S-I-T-E .com/ Canaria Eiraku. That's my website. Yes. So you can get all the information about my performances.
Right. So, okay, I'm going to put this link on the show page so that, easily our listeners can look up. And also, is this the site your future performance schedule will be put up?
Yes, right. Yeah.
Okay. So it's eigorakugo.wixsite.com/canariaeirak.
That's right, yes.
Okay, great. Okay, so I will look for all your performances in the future because it's really meaningful and I appreciate what you do. Okay, so thank you so much for joining us today and staying up so late. It's very late over there.
Pleasure is mine. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for show topics or guests, please contact us at japanneeds@heritageradionetwork.org or at kikotema.com. Japan Needs is a weekly program and always available at heritageradionetwork.org as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Our engineer is Jess Krantich, and thank you for listening. I'll see you next week.
Japan Needs is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network, Food Radio supported by you. For freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a non-profit organization, driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thank you for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.